So there's a lot of people. Hey kids, Dean from Crypto the Wonder Dog. So there's a lot of people getting into the space. And seems like not a lot of women. But then the women who do are quite the lookers. And it's wonderful when you come across a girl who is actually another fellow Texan. So I had a great conversation with Nikita, and she is a crypto influencer and evangelist. She is being tapped by many of the top exchanges in this space, and she's a veteran herself, man. She's no newcomer to Bitcoin and cryptos. She's been around for a couple of years. She knows what she's talking about. I had a great conversation with her, and this is a little taste of that. Hopefully, we're going to be hanging out with her in August for the North American Sports and Blockchain Conference in LA. Brought to you by, Crypto the Wonder Dog. That will be August 7th and 8th at the JW Marriott, downtown LA. So we're going to be having a welcome party on the 6th there, and more information to come, websites and links and flyers and pamphlets and all kinds of stuff happening. But here's a great conversation that I had. Loved our conversation. Nikita, you guys ready to start the show? All right, let's start the show. So, how's your morning going?
Yeah, it's great. I'm in Phuket, so it's a beautiful morning.
Oh man, you're living the life.
Yeah, it's only an hour and a half away from Singapore.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah. Oh.
So, what's a day like for you out there? What do you do?
So in Phuket.
Yeah, just from the time you just kind of roll out of bed and the angels are singing and the birds come and do your hair for you, and
it's like just massages and chill by the beach and food and coconut water.
That's how I imagined it. That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh man, so you I gathered from the photo that I saw on LinkedIn that you're a model and supermodel, and you're doing all kinds of work with many different companies. So take me through what you're up to.
So I was modeling internationally for 3 years, and I went from I shot for Ford in the Gobi Desert. I shot for Hyundai in the Palace of Rajasthan. I shot for the Sultan of Brunei. So, I got to travel internationally. So, I came out with a chemistry degree, and basically, I was just looking for a part-time job to pay my 6 years of tuition. Yeah, and that's when I got into modeling, and it turned out that modeling went really well for me, and I was really enjoying it. As I just described, I was working internationally. So 2 years after taking this quote gap year that I'd promised my dad, because my dad wasn't too happy about it. He was like, you need to go back to chemistry. So it was meant to be a gap year, but it was going so well for me, and I really enjoyed it. So I thought, I want to stay in the industry, but do something a little more sustainable. So I started my own modeling agency, which then turned into a talent management company.
Wow.
So, now we have models, dancers, hosts, photographers, makeup artists, anything, you name it. We staff your events, or, if you need a commercial done, we can do that too.
Okay. So that's event talents, right?
Yes, so that's event talents, which you saw. And then the connection of event talents with crypto is that 2 years ago, this company doing an ICO had contacted my agency for hosts in English, Japanese, Korean, Mandarin Russian. And so basically, because we manage like over 400 talents, like we have so many, you know, so many hosts in our company, models or, you know, that also do hosting, because it's a skill that, you know, is important when you're modeling to be able to speak well.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we provided these hosts to the company. And it basically was, he was doing a video on about his company, like who they are, what they do, to post on the website. And I got like, so that sparked my interest, because when I was the English host, I had no idea what I was reading off the teleprompter. It said stuff like cryptocurrency, ICO, blockchain. And I was like, what is all of this? So I came home and started doing like my homework. I got interested. I opened an account and I started investing myself to learn a little bit. Yeah, it was just like, I think I saw one thing that really it really inspired me to start investing, was like, if you invested in Bitcoin in 2013, today you would have da 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 da. And I was like, no way. So I was just like, it was a bit naive of me.
Well, what did you buy?
So my first account was just on Coinbase, and I bought like a bunch of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. And it was not bad. Like, I bought Ethereum when it was like $200.
Oh my gosh.
So it's still okay. Like, it's, I'm not like a crazy amount. It was more of a, like, when your money is in it, then your interest is in it.
Oh yeah.
It was,
oh yeah.
Something like to teach myself.
And your heart's in it, and your emotions, everything.
On
Binance. Oh, I'm losing you there, Nikita.
Hello, this is something I do to teach myself, nothing serious.
Oh, I lost you there for like 10 seconds. What I missed what you just said.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so then I opened an account on Binance.
Oh yeah.
To trade other altcoins, and it was just mostly to teach myself. But then you know, I just didn't know where I was going with this whole crypto thing. So what we started doing in Event Talents was we started offering a service where you basically, we can change your white paper into a series of videos. So like, you know, everybody wants, everybody who's into cryptocurrency wants to see it incorporated into everyday life.
Yes.
But the problem is that it's so technical that, right now, like the way we explain it, these white papers, they're just too technical, and people, everyday people who don't have a tech background, who maybe don't even have a financial background, they find it a bit difficult to understand.
Oh yeah.
So what we do is we basically just turn your white paper into a series of videos, because also some people learn better visually, and we break it down into like 5 episodes, like who the team is, why it's important to put this project on blockchain, what problems it's going to solve. We you know, go to the office and we interview the people, because in Asia we had a lot of scams where companies were just sticking Caucasian faces on a white paper and calling them their CTOs and CEOs just because it looked legit, like especially in China.
Oh my God.
And I even had a company come to my agency and ask for Caucasian faces, and I was just like, I was just shocked.
That's why they call it the white paper.
Exactly. So like this, like making it into a video, like shows credibility, because we even interview the people behind the company, the founders.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you get involved with this?
So 2 years ago, I started.
Wow.
Yeah. In crypto. And,
so you're a veteran. And then you're an old timer. Mm-hmm. Man.
I'm a slow learner, so like it took me a while to get a hang of it. I mean, I'm a slow technical learner.
Well, you did it on your own. You didn't have anybody teaching you, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I just like because a lot of my friends are models, or like my business partner is an ex-model as well. So when I had to explain like what is cryptocurrency to them and what is an ICO, like I just couldn't. So I just had to keep like breaking it down into simpler and simpler version. And then I thought, okay, like I'm going to start making videos explaining to people what cryptocurrencies are. So then actually it just so happened that an exchange wanted to do the same thing. So they hired me to be their host. So
really?
I host many things. Yeah. Like, okay. So I do from like making educational videos to what an ICO is to like, basically putting projects that I like, making video blogs and projects that I like on my own Instagram or LinkedIn, and just I'm like pretty open, like anything that requires like hosting or educating people on what is crypto and integrating it into everyday life, like I'm keen to be part of it. And just so happened that as of like 4 months ago, someone caught on to that, and it's like a domino effect. People now have been inviting me to different conferences worldwide as a speaker.
No way.
To talk about. Yeah. So now I've already done three speaker, you know, conferences already.
Oh my gosh.
And they, encourage me to talk about women and blockchain.
Yes. Cause there's not a lot. It seems
like,
weird.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of them in there.
Exactly. So when I was researching the statistics, it's only 5 to 7% of crypto users are females.
5 to 7%.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you would think there would be a lot more because women usually want to be in charge of the money. So, you know.
Exactly. So that's what I was saying. In America, women have 60% of the spending power. So, you know, it's even like... It's like if women are in charge of the money and, you know, you incorporate like cryptocurrencies into your businesses, maybe more women will start understanding and being aware of what it is.
Yes. Yeah. Cause they kind of, you know, when it comes to technical things, women tend to shy away from that, and the men try to take over. So I guess that's probably why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I didn't only talk about how like women should get into blockchain. I talked about how blockchain can also change women's lives. Like, for example, women own less than 20% of the land in the world. And this is because of like old traditional like rules that still haven't changed, or like male structures holding like the, you know, having the dominant position, or, you know, women not having IDs or any, you know, credit cards or banks. So blockchain can change all of that.
Yes, it can. Yeah, that's funny because I was just talking to a guy today who was talking about the identity, and that blockchain can give identity to a lot of people who still don't have like any kind of birth certificate or anything, and especially in places like Africa and
exactly. Yeah. And my own dad, like my dad lost my dad has his birth certificate lost.
Oh.
So,
and there's
and
only
that's
one.
Because he was,
there's only
yeah,
one.
Yeah, like my dad was born in India, so it was like in a bit of a like in the slums, I guess, in the slummy area. Like, I mean, he's really made his way up. Like, he's worked really hard, but that's another story. But he was born in a really poor family where he didn't even have his, you know, birth certificate. And,
wow.
I mean, he became an American citizen, a few years ago, like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when he wanted to apply for residency in Singapore, because he's been working there, he runs a company there, and he wanted like, and this is crazy because you think about it, like he's running a ship management company, and which is, you know, doing a lot for Singapore, you know, as a Singapore government is always trying to promote entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get PR or residency because he couldn't find his birth certificate.
Wow. So what happened?
Like the hospital had no record of it. So he just never got it.
He never got it?
No.
Oh my God. So what ends up happening to somebody like that?
I mean, he's still working as an entrepreneurship. He's just paying more taxes.
Oh, yeah, costume.
Yeah.
They find a way to check, to just pull more money out of you because you lost something. That's great.
Exactly.
Oh my God. So where were you born?
I was born in Hong Kong.
Oh, get
and
out. Wow.
When I was, it was crazy. Like, so I was almost born in Brazil, and then I ended up being born in Hong Kong. And then when I was just 2 months, like I was a baby, we moved to Cyprus on the Mediterranean Sea.
Wow.
And I grew up there. So I spent like 15 years in Cyprus. Sorry, not 15 years. I'm like doing the math. I was like, no, I'm not going to be, I'm not that old yet. I spent about 11 years in Cyprus and then another 10 years in the States, or like 11 years in the States. And I've been in Singapore for 7 years. And in between, I've been, you know, traveling a lot.
Wow. So what kind of life did your parents have that you were like getting to travel all over the world?
So, you know, like I just mentioned, like my dad was born in a very like poor part of India.
Yeah.
He really had to make his way up. So the only way he could even educate himself was through the Navy. And he got a job as like a fifth engineer on the ship, which they actually kind of like clean the pipes at the bottom. It's like, it's not a very glamorous job. But he made his way up way before I was born to like, you know, fourth engineer, third engineer, then chief engineer, then superintendent. And then, you know, my mom was with him the entire time. And he started working offshore. And I think because he was so like he wanted opportunity so bad, he would just grab them wherever they came. So he would, you know, he would work like on projects and they would say, okay, like we have a project in Cyprus, we have a project in Hong Kong, and he would just grab it and take it, you know, for, you know, to build on his career. And it was the right move to do because when he finally came to Singapore, he came as president of the company of a Japanese shipping company. And then, you know, transferred to another company and then two years later, bought over that company.
Wow. What a great story to come from, you know, pretty much nothing to owning companies.
Yeah, exactly. So he's really worked hard.
And then to be able to get to travel the whole world, I'm sure that you know, not many people have that kind of ambition to dig yourself out of the slums
no matter what it takes
to get out there.
And then a lot of people, they get attached to the country they're living in. But like my dad always taught me that, like, be attached to your family. Don't be attached to your home.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. We were like, yeah, okay. And you know, I mean, but we had a good childhood, like, by the time we were, I have two sisters. So by the time we were born, we were like, you know, a good middle-class family. But my mom is the one who had to like really struggle. She was living on a ship for 13 years.
As just a seaman's wife.
Yeah. Oh. Like in a tiny cabin.
She must have loved that, right?
She hated it. Oh my gosh. She was like, I was the only female there and I had a kid and it was just crazy.
Oh, she was probably being gawked at by all the guys and your dad
trying
to fight them off.
Yeah. And she was really beautiful, so it doesn't help the case.
And both your parents did they both grow up in the same town?
Different towns, but yeah. Their families knew each other. It wasn't an arranged marriage because my dad liked my mom, but it had to be like, I guess, expedited because it's also like a interesting, like a sad story from my mom's side that like her father was murdered. So overnight they kind of lost everything and the business. She went from having like being one of the first families to having a color TV to like having nothing. Like she came from quite a wealthy background, but it was some within the business that, you know, he got murdered from his employee and basically everything was lost. So my grandma, who had six children, couldn't afford to take care of everyone. So my mom was like the second youngest and my grandma was stitching tablecloths for a living. So she was like, I think it's time you find a man who can take care of you.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where my dad came in.
Oh, man. And so she probably taught him a lot when it came to, you know, business and things like that. Did it,
Yeah, because she came from like, you know, like a, you know, well-to-do family.
Yeah.
She would like, you know, tell my dad like, don't eat with your hands, eat with a fork and knife like this. So she kind of like polished my dad, I would say.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's what women do. Yeah. They come in, they find a man that they can polish and train and you know.
It's like a project.
They do. Some women, exactly. they love projects. They like, I can tackle this. I can handle him.
Exactly.
And have you ever been back there? Have you been there?
No, I haven't. My parents left when they were in their 20s. And they've been kind of sailing the world. And then they settled. We spent, like, I would say home is divided, like, between, it was first Cyprus, because that's where we spent the longest. And then it was Miami, and then it was Houston. And then now it's kind of Singapore.
Yeah, when we talked last time, you said you were from Houston. I'm like, oh, Texas girl. I'm from Lubbock.
Yeah, yeah. I relate myself most to Houston because I graduated from high school there, and I went to, you know, UT Austin. And so, like, I think my most, like, memorable years were in Houston. And then my grandma, my sisters, my cousins are all in Houston. So I go back 3 times a year.
Oh, so that's more home for you than anywhere else.
For sure. For sure. Great. But it's a 24-hour flight.
Yeah. Right, so were you a cowgirl? Did you wear hat and boots?
No. No. I don't see a lot of people like that in Houston. It's more like, I don't know. I've never been to Lubbock. Maybe Lubbock's more
it
like
it is.
That.
It's definitely a cow town, you know, kind of like, you know, the Fort Worth area of, but I mean, it's not as metropolitan as Dallas and Fort Worth, but, you know, there's a lot of cows there, a lot of oil, a lot of cotton. That's that's kind of how I grew up, on the flat plains of Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Couldn't wait to get out. Boy.
Yeah, that's how I felt like leaving Houston for Singapore. It was just a bit like, it's a very slow paced life.
That's quite there. A change, and though. I mean, just, going from Texas to Singapore, man.
Yeah, yeah. My dad was there for work, and I literally just went there with one suitcase. I was like supposed to be visiting him, but I never came back. I was like, I'm gonna stay here now.
Wow. So was that great, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, I think, like, I could just see the opportunities there. I could see, like, Asia was booming, and, you know, there were so many expats there. There's so many Texans there.
In Singapore?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, one in four people is an expat. So every, yeah, so like 25% of the. I think now it's even, this was like a statistic I heard like 5 years ago. So now it must be way more than that.
Yeah. Wow. And so I guess your entrepreneurship and your going after stuff, cause that probably came from your dad, right?
I think it came from partially from my dad, but mostly from like moving to Singapore because so Singapore has the highest concentration of millionaires in the world, like per capita. So like, wow. Yeah, a lot, like even to own an apartment there, it costs like $1 million. So it's an expensive city, and you see people trying to survive there. And a lot, like, entrepreneurship is promoted by the government. Like, if you're an entrepreneur, like, you don't pay tax for the first 3 years, because the government really, the government really tries to like promote people to like start their businesses and, you know, bring more to Singapore. And I think when I moved there, I kind of saw that like people were really living the life and, you know, working, kind of everyone had their own business, their own goals, their own, even if they were working for a company, like they were there for really good positions. So it just kind of like, I just saw what was around me. And I think you become who you surround yourself with. And I surrounded myself with a lot of like competitive and intelligent people who, you know, had this entrepreneurship mind. So speaking to them and like listening to them, I just decided, like, you know, okay, I want to be one of them. And same thing that happened with crypto. I mean, I was always surrounded by these crypto people. Singapore is becoming like a bit of a blockchain hub.
Is it?
In Asia.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's like conferences here. I mean, every week there's something. So I was going to so many. I mean, every week I was going to one.
Oh, did you by chance go to the BEF, the blockchain?
Yes, I was there.
Were you? Oh, okay. Did you meet
at SunTech.
The guys from LA Token?
Yeah, I, Vlad, what's his name?
Roman?
not Roman, but so there was one lady I met and one guy.
Okay, yeah, I met a guy named Roman. They had just a few weeks after that one, they had one in L.A., and I went to that and I met Roman there. And I think they're doing another one in San Francisco here pretty
nice.
Soon. So,
nice.
Yeah, because they said they had just come from Singapore, and then I noticed, yeah, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of events happening there in Singapore.
Yeah, I mean, Singapore even has like a co-working space that's dedicated to crypto and blockchain.
Wow, and are there schools out there like teaching how to develop blockchain technology?
Yeah, universities. Yeah.
And have you even looked into doing that?
No, I haven't. No? I mean, it would be good to learn, but I think at this point I've just been so busy with like all this like running, you know, this event talents and then incorporating crypto in it and then making videos and hosting that I don't know if I have time to do courses, which is a bad thing to say because you should always make time for education.
Yes. Yes. I saw one of your videos, where you were putting the Ethereum, logo on your eyeshadow, right?
Yeah. So that's like a makeup company which asked me to, you know, do a video for them because they were one of a few, you know, a few businesses accepting cryptocurrencies as payments
for their makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so they just wanted like more women to, you know, learn about it. So they thought, okay, we're a makeup brand, like let's put that if you pay with cryptocurrency, you get 20% off.
Wow. Okay. I bet you women love that, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a really great idea. So I was like, okay, sure. And to make it like more like relevant to like cryptocurrencies, they just asked me to do some kind of my favorite token or my favorite coin logo on my eyes, which was a bit tough. Because,
I bet it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, I was like, does this look funny?
It looked hot. It was great. Yeah, it made me want to go out and buy Ethereum right away.
Ethereum makeup?
Yeah. Ethereum. I mean, you were a good salesperson for Ethereum right then. And that encourages women to get involved with cryptocurrencies. If they're going to get a deal on makeup, man, a lot about lighting a fire on women to go buy some crypto.
For sure. Yeah.
And what else? What else do you have going on with things like that? Where you're a spokesperson.
I was also the host for Huobi, which is the world's second largest exchange.
Okay, so tell me about that, because I actually have that up on the screen right now. Their LinkedIn page.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like I can never say it properly because it's a very Chinese pronunciation. It's something like Huobi or something, like you gotta like do the exclamation going up, which I so failed at that, and I was live on TV.
Do it again.
Huobi. I don't know, I can never do it. And I do like this hand gesture when I say it as
do
well.
You?
Which is like, yeah, they say like put both palms together and do the Huobi logo with your hands or something, and it's like I don't know. It was like I could never get it right.
Is there a video of you doing this?
No, there is no video. But like, I mean, all the Huobi talks that I did are on YouTube, and you can see that I failed at saying the word Huobi. it's a Chinese letter, which we don't have in the English language.
Oh, we don't have that. Yeah, yeah, we don't have the Huobi.
It's like
the Huobi,
Huobi.
They get very excited about things like that. So, how did you get LinkedIn with that?
So, basically I was just building my Instagram, and I called myself Crypto Queen on Instagram. And right. Yeah, 'cause I was already making like videos and projects that I liked and whatnot. So then Huobi found me, and they were like, on Instagram, and they just asked me to come in as a host. So I basically interviewed some of the top projects on their platform, that opened a lot of doors for me because I guess Huobi has a really good name in Asia, and I went on then to like that led me to doing some educational videos. Some companies flew me all the way from Singapore to Las Vegas to, you know, talk about their exchange. And, you know, it's really exciting because I don't think there's, I think this is a bit of a niche. Like, you don't see a lot of women, especially women with a background like mine that are in, you know, cryptocurrency or blockchain.
Yeah.
but the more I see opportunities, the more I want to get into it. And the more it excites me, you know, because it's like, okay, so I'm one of the pioneers. If, you know, they can't find their talent in Vegas and they need to fly their talent from Singapore. And what can I do with this? So, you know, I'm always thinking. And so I opened a separate page called Crypto Queens. So I'm known as Crypto Queen. Then I opened like another page, Crypto Queens, to maybe start getting more girls like me, train them. So, you know, if I can't, you know, fly, I can maybe find girls worldwide to, you know, host and talk about crypto.
Is that Crypto Queens? Is that a website or what is that?
It's another Instagram page, but we only have 100 followers because it's like we haven't developed it yet. We haven't like we're like slow at posting, and we're still just finalizing our business plan, like what exactly we're gonna offer, because right now it just says like crypto ambassador, but we want more purpose behind it.
Is that the one I'm looking at? One here says Crypto Queens, and two ladies diving into the world of cryptocurrency and blockchain. Is that you?
It's crypto.queens.
Crypto.queens. Okay, let me see if I can find that. Crypto.queens. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a very like small page. So like you see like a random samba dancer, like that was at a crypto after party, you know, like someone just hired from our agency to like just some dancers as entertainment. So
is that the girl in the gold dress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're wondering the relevance. It was just like an after party, and we're like, maybe this will get us more followers. Let's just post this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you being a model, I'm sure that doesn't hurt your page to have you on there.
And, like, we just want to show, like, it's like anything, whether you want, like, you know, hosts or you want dancers for your crypto party or, you know, because in Hong Kong, like, this is like in Hong Kong. I mean, some of the, you know, it's a pretty glamorous life up there. It's like, after every crypto event, there's some crazy party. I mean, I went to one a couple of months ago and I couldn't even get in.
You like, couldn't get in?
They were so exclusive. They're like, do you have a ticket? If not, you need to pay $2,000. And the guy who was throwing the party was a friend. And I was like,
what?
I was like, what a friend. I was like, yeah. I was like, hey, get me in. And he was like, yeah, I will. Like, just wait a second. And he just disappeared.
Oh,
so it's like, you're not my friend anymore.
What a jackass. It's just wow.
Like, really exclusive. Really, really super exclusive.
Well, we'll have a party that's $4,000 and we won't invite him.
Yeah. He's like, he's friends with like all these, like, I don't know, apparently the guy who found Ethereum, apparently he's, you know, he knows him.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah, wow. So, well, wow. Okay. So that was launching you there. And then what about your personal, Instagram page?
So yeah, my personal Instagram page, I'm trying to like, I'm going to slowly, like change it into slowly make that Crypto Queens. So, I mean, basically make Crypto Queens all like just my crypto stuff and keep my personal page, my personal stuff. Cause as you see, like I mix it up a bit, like I really like traveling. So my personal Instagram page has a lot of my travel photos and
donkeys. You have a donkey.
Family photos.
Is that a donkey?
That was after the conference in Oman. Like, I went to Oman, ironically, to talk about women in blockchain, which was a bit of a daunting experience. But I had like a few Arab men looking at me like, really?
Yeah, I bet. I bet
it was like
that.
The room
yeah.
was full of Arab men. But it was hilarious. So that was like my de-stress trip after the blockchain conference. And it was just like, Oman's incredible. I mean, literally just like donkeys, camels, you know, goats.
I'm not even really sure where that is. Like, educate this poor white man. Where is that?
So Oman is a 5-hour drive from Dubai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's near Yemen. It's I mean, it's it has like it's on the coast, so it has a really beautiful beach. And it's like it's really underrated. It's a
Wow.
beautiful country.
Okay.
And they're one of the more open-minded Middle Eastern countries. They're very like, very peaceful. Whenever Qatar or Dubai or Saudi Arabia will have any issues within themselves, they'll like come to Oman and try to sort it out.
Oh, how great is that? Okay, so like
Yeah.
the neutral the sweet the Switzerland of the Middle East.
Exactly.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, that's how they call themselves. That's exactly what they said word for word.
Really?
Yeah. And I mean, like the currency is really strong there. It's stronger than the Dubai dirham. I think it's a really underrated country because it's stunning. I mean, it's like they even have like a mini Grand Canyon there.
Oh, is that where this picture is of you standing next to the green water in the canyon?
No, because this was surprisingly my second time in Oman.
Really?
The first time I went like 3 years ago because a friend decided to get married there. It was really random.
Yeah, I'm getting married in Oman.
Yeah, but it was like not even a 5-star hotel. It was a 7-star hotel.
Wow.
It was like Shangri-La. They had a 7-star hotel there, and it was like on a cliff overlooking the ocean. I mean, it was the bluest sea I've ever seen in my life. And I'm standing in front of a sea right now. Like I'm in Phuket. Like I'm looking out the window and I can see the beach, but like Oman was like sapphire blue.
Oh my God. Wow. Well, yeah, I'm hoping that that my fame and fortune will soon get be invited to some of these countries to talk about
I'm
crypto
sure.
and
I'm sure because now you're doing your own conference too, right? So,
yes, we are. We're
yeah.
doing the North American Sports and Blockchain Conference, and that'll be in Los Angeles on August 7th and 8th. At the JW Marriott downtown next to the Staples Center. So
Nice.
we got to get you there for that. We need to have you obviously be one of our spokespeople for that.
Oh, I'd love to.
Or
I mean,
the
America,
spokesperson.
anytime.
Yeah, the
I'd love
spokesperson.
to. Yeah.
Well, let's try to make that happen. That would be a lot of fun. Wow, so what's next for you? What do you got going on?
Oh my gosh, like it's just been so crazy. So I've been contacted by another exchange, which I think has a lot of potential. It's called the Cryptos X. Basically the guy who is running this new exchange, he already has experience with a non-crypto exchange which sold for $1.1
Oh my God.
billion. So I mean, and this was a second exchange, so he's very experienced when it comes to exchanges, and he's going to have it regulated, which I think is really important now in the crypto industry to have coins that are regulated. I mean, I don't know if you just heard, like, I mean, there's so many exchanges that are falling apart.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to mention anything, but there was just something in the news yesterday, about another big exchange, like just their CEO randomly running away. And I think it's so, like, people are getting scared about this, and they want a trusted exchange to work with. So I'm looking forward to partnering with them, and I want to, like, I suggested to them to make a platform where we also educate people, like, the challenges, the advantages of investing in crypto, and just make sure that we get the right audience creating accounts, people with knowledge and people who are interested and not just in it to make 10 times their money.
Absolutely, yeah. Because that's a lot of people, they're not understanding when they get into this that it's not it's not playtime. You're not guaranteed to get some money out of this. You got to be really
Exactly.
smart. Just because it says ICO on it, people freak out and they want to flock to it. And you got to realize that those aren't going to be around. 90% of them aren't going to be around in 6 months or a year.
Exactly.
So,
Especially in China, you know, they're like, ICO, take my money.
yes, it's yeah, it's ridiculous. So that's kind of, you know, some of the things that we want to educate people on, especially you know, if this is your money, and some people, they don't have a life savings, they don't have a retirement, and they're thinking that this could possibly be a way out. And for a lot of people, it will be, but you just got to be smart. Got to be smart.
Yeah, I think it's great what you're doing, to just anyone who's educating people and raising awareness. I think it's great.
Well, thank you. As you are yourself. Yes.
Thanks.
So, well,
Yeah.
gosh, Nikita, it was awesome meeting you and talking with you and hanging out with fellow Texan for a bit. And
You too.
you know, so well, let's keep the conversation going. We'll keep it open and see what we can do about getting you out here in August and hanging out with
Exactly.
us.
I'm really looking forward to that.
I am too, man. This is great. So anybody that wants to get a hold of you, they can find you on LinkedIn
Yeah, or Instagram
and
at
Instagram
Nikita Sasha 5.
and crypto.queens. And yeah, and so you know, we're going to keep this going. Also, event-talents.com. If you're looking for the hottest people on the planet, that's where they tend to come out of. She's growing them on trees there.
We've literally scouted everybody in Asia.
If you need white people for your white paper, that's where you
No.
go.
Don't do that.
Oh man. All right, well, you have a good rest of your day. I'm wrapping my day up. So, you know, like I said, great talking with you, Nikita.
Great speaking to you too, Kurt.
All
Have a
right.
nice day.
You too. Bye.